The first reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10. It can be found on page 1151. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 to 22. Therefore, my dear friends, free from idolatry, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break our participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol or an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and it can be found on page 979. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we pray that we will listen to it with understanding and receive it with faith. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like. There are a number of parables in the Gospels which Jesus began in this way. They're usually referred to as parables of the kingdom. St. Matthew always used the term kingdom of heaven, while St. Mark and St. Luke say the kingdom of God. Now Matthew, because of his many references to the Jewish law and to practices, is thought to have been writing his gospel mainly for Jewish readers. To the Jews, the name of God was holy, not to be used lightly, hardly even to be spoken. So using the term kingdom of heaven was a way of showing reverence to the divine name. The term kingdom is usually meant to mean a territory, but here the meaning is more likely the kingly rule, the time when God would reign as king. So Jesus used parables, examples, that would have been familiar to the people to try to help them to understand what it will mean to accept and submit to God, to become a part of his kingdom. The first parable in our reading was that of the weeds, and would certainly have been clear to the listeners of Jesus. They would have been familiar with this. The weeds were known as tares. In some translations, this is what they're called. But one of the problems which the farmers had to deal with was that this weed called darnel And in the early stages of its growth, it was almost impossible to tell this weed apart from the wheat. When the heads had developed, they could be identified. The roots were so entwined that it would have been impossible to pull them out without uprooting the wheat as well. The grain from the darnel was poisonous and narcotic in its effects, and so after reaping, it was separated by hand. The picture of a man sowing weeds in a neighbour's field was not just a story, as it was sometimes done out of an act of malice. This parable carries with it a warning that life in God's kingdom is not necessarily an easy one. It teaches first that there is always a hostile power waiting to spoil and to destroy. The Christians would refer to this evil power as the devil, waiting to tempt and to lead us astray. It was St. Peter, speaking surely from his own experience, who wrote in one of his letters, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And of course, we know that temptation comes in many ways, hence this warning to be on our guard. But there is also a warning here about being judgmental. The parable tells us that it is hard to distinguish between those who are in the kingdom and those who are not. I heard someone once say that when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised at those who are there and those who are not. But it's also all too easy to make a judgment about people by their actions and to dismiss them without knowing the full facts. If the farm workers had tried to uproot the darnel, they would have pulled up the wheat as well. The decision was not theirs. And so we are warned not to be quick in our judgments of the spiritual life of others. We are also reminded that God is the only judge. As sovereign God, he is the only one with the right to decide a person's destiny. The second parable of the mustard seed in St. Luke's version is an answer to the disciples' request, "Increase your faith." This was not the question asked according to Matthew, but it is virtually the same parable. But the mustard plant in Palestine was not like the small plant that we would have, but a plant which would grow to almost the size of a tree. It became proverbial for something very small, a grain of mustard seed. Jesus is saying that just as a tiny seed can grow into something large, so faith will grow and blossom. It reminds us that the kingdom of heaven began in a small way. We record how Jesus called 12 men to be with him, to learn from him, and then to send them out with these words, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And from that small group of men, the knowledge of God spread far and wide. It's surely an encouragement to know that a tiny seed of knowledge and faith planted in someone's heart can grow and develop in a way that we may never expect. We don't know what a word or a kind action can do, a word said at the right moment. I feel this is particularly important for those who teach or have influence with children, teachers, parents, grandparents. There may not be an obvious response to something we say. We may never know if our words come to fruition. But God can use those words in a way that perhaps we would never expect. Perhaps an example. The story is told of an old man who died. He seemed to be alone in the world. At his funeral service, a lone figure stood by the graveside. Afterwards, the minister asked if he was a relative. "Oh no," the man replied. "Old Tom was my Sunday school teacher. I'm afraid I was a great trial to him. but it is to his teaching that I owe my faith. I think that it's important that we pray for all those who have the care and responsibility of our children and young people. But one final thought from this parable is that the birds of the air perched in the branches of the great mustard tree. The birds loved the little black seeds which the tree produced, and they settled in its branches to enjoy them. And the tree was large enough to give them shelter and provide for their needs. I think the parable tells us that the kingdom of God's reign and membership of the kingdom begins in a small way, but there is room for all. It is universal. It reaches out to people of all races, all backgrounds, rich and poor, young and old, influential or unknown, and no one is beyond God's love. So two parables, one with warnings to be alert to the dangers of temptation and not to judge. The other with the encouragement that from something small, great things can come. So let us pray that we may heed the warnings and rejoice in the encouragements. Amen.